I wanted to bring today's episode to the podcast, talking all about what to do if we're feeling very stressed out on the fertility journey. We're talking about a powerful tool that can help you right now. And this episode, it was so empowering and calming and to really help you. So if you're feeling panicked right now, if you're feeling impatient, if you're feeling frustrated, this episode can really help you see a positive path forward towards your baby. So I'm excited for you to listen. Let's go. This episode is brought to you by Inneeto, the most accurate at-home fertility tracker on the market and the one we here at FabFertile recommend and use with all our clients. Most ovulation tests can only predict fertile days, but Inneeto measures estrogen, LH, and progesterone to accurately confirm when you're ovulating and most fertile. Go to Inneeto.com, that's Inneeto.com, and use the code FABFERTILE15. That's the code FABFERTILE15 to save 15%. Excited to announce we have all new winter recipes specifically designed for fertility. I know that changing your diet can be super confusing and you may not know where to start to improve your fertility. That's why our Fab Fertile method includes specific personalized dietary recommendations that reduce inflammation and optimize the body for pregnancy success. I'm excited that you get to sample our proven fertility diet plan absolutely free. And even better, we have all new winter recipes. All you need to do is go to fertilitydietfreebie.com to grab your free copy. And diet has such a huge impact on your health and fertility because if your body is under attack by even a seemingly healthy food, it wants to survive, not procreate, which puts your reproductive health on the back burner. But when we consume foods that are right for our body and decrease inflammation, our fertility starts to come back online. Our clients tell us when they follow our proven diet plan that their skin issues clear, such as acne and hives and rashes, headaches improve, mood improves, digestion, such as gas and bloating and burping, although common, is not normal. PMS symptoms improve, such as mood swings and headaches, again, and sleep and way more. All you need to do is go to fertilitydietfreebie.com. That's FERTILITYDIETFREEBIE.com. That's fertilitydietfreebie.com to grab your free winter fertility recipe guide. I didn't need to go to donor eggs. Obviously, I don't regret it. I have beautiful children. I could have done things differently. I was still cycling back in my 20s. I could have looked at my health, the environmental toxins, the stress I was under.
Many, many women are being told their eggs are too old. That's an assumption. You can't test egg quality.
Many times it's the man. It's the man who's got a food sensitivity or the zinc deficiency.
There can be a root cause to these quote-unquote period problems. The doctor will pass you a pill without any question of why.
Why is IVF the first step? Because we believe it should be the last step. Welcome to Get Pregnant Naturally, where functional medicine and natural fertility solutions will help you get pregnant and have your baby. Welcome back. I'm Sarah Clark, founder of FabFertile and your host. I believe the functional approach is the first step for anyone on the fertility journey, and my aim is to help you get pregnant naturally. Today, I'm welcoming Sheva Carr to the podcast, and we're digging into the research on how to manage stress with heart rate variability. Sheva Carr is the CEO of Fiera Inc., Heart Ambassadors, and Fiera Foundation, as well as the co-director of HeartMath Healthcare and HeartMath Heart Mastery Program, and VP of UN Peace Messenger Org Pathways to Peace. Thanks so much for listening. I'm so thankful that you're here. Make sure you hit subscribe or follow. And if you know someone else who is on the fertility journey, please share this podcast with them. Hey, Sheva, excited to have you on the podcast.
I am thrilled to be here. Thank you so much for having me, Sarah.
Before we go into your journey and how you came to do this work, we're going to start with a little exercise that you're going to take us through.
Yes, we are. And so I would love for us together to do a tool that we're going to spend the rest of the podcast unpacking some pretty amazing science around and how it can assist us, maybe not entirely, but certainly profoundly in being our own internal pharmacist, in adjusting our hormones from the inside out rather than just from the outside in. And the clinical evidence on that is pretty exciting. So I invite us together, you and me, Sarah, and all the listeners, to focus our attention in the area around the heart, the chest area. If you find it helpful as training wheels, you can put a hand on your heart like Sarah and I are right now. But ultimately, these tools can be done in the middle of the demands of life when you're driving. Someday, for all of you, when you're changing diapers and talking to a person on the phone at the same time, moms are notorious for multitasking. So it's a good tool to have on board before you have a baby or another baby on board. And with that heart focus, so it can be done eyes open or eyes closed, whatever feels best to you right now. If you're driving, listening to this podcast, I suggest keeping your eyes open, please. And imagine the breath is flowing in through the heart and out through the heart, breathing a little slower and deeper than usual. If you find it helpful, you can count as you breathe in and count as you breathe out, on whatever rhythm is comfortable for you, recommended for all kinds of science reasons we might not get into today, is a rhythm of 5 seconds in. So if it's helpful, you could count to 5 as you breathe in and 5 seconds out. And with that heart focused breathing, the invitation is to activate a renewing feeling. It could be compassion, care, appreciation for someone or something in your life. And to breathe that feeling in through the heart and out through the heart. And with that heart-focused breathing, I'd like to invite us to activate compassion for anyone listening to this who's struggling to fulfill their desire to conceive. And if that's you, to just breathe compassion for yourself in this moment as you breathe in through the heart and out through the heart. And let's also breathe compassion for Sarah, who has been fighting with a cough and maybe muting more than usual today. So we can radiate our compassion as a form of healing to her, breathing in through the heart and out through the heart. And I will add to this, teach you a game I used to play with women and their partners when I ran a doula registry called the Birthing Vision, where we would have them send love and appreciation to their yet-to-be-conceived babies. So you could try that on for size right now, breathing love and appreciation to the being that you're calling into this world as you breathe in through the heart and out through the heart. It works with other things too, by the way. I did that for the surgeon that would tell me I would be able to ski, run, walk, and dance again when no one would. and I found him and I can. But maybe in his honor and in honor of all the allied health professionals that help us with these challenges, we could also breathe appreciation to the teams that are helping you, whoever they are, with your conception vision. Breathing our gratitude to them in through the heart. And out through the heart. This simple technique called quick coherence from HeartMath is called that because it quickly gets over 1,400 things in our physiology aligned and in sync through a change in heart rhythm patterns. And that cascade of physiological changes gives us access not only to hormonal changes that optimize our endocrine health, but also to higher centers of brain function, self and situational awareness, and intuitive capacity. That's been published and well researched. And so as we're completing this little pause in the heart, it's a good moment just to allow yourself a moment to listen to your intuition. In case there's anything it would like to say to you or let you know right now. Really, my purpose whenever I show up in someone's life is to help them hear themselves better more than anything else, not to just listen to me prattle on. So I appreciate, Sarah, you indulging me in starting this podcast with a moment of self-listening for the audience before subjecting them to listening to me.
I love it. I love that start. It's beautiful. It's beautiful.
Thank you.
So yeah, can you share your journey, how you came to do this?
It's interesting. I was thinking about that because I've never really told this aspect of the story before, but I did come to HeartMath with infertility. At that time in my life, I didn't call it infertility because I wasn't trying to get pregnant in the moment, but I had lived in a war zone as a teenager. I was an aid worker and a university student working in a Central American civil war with street children who had been orphaned by the war. And living in a war zone as a young person, I was exposed to all kinds of stressors. Witness to awful things and kidnapped at gunpoint myself and all kinds of experiences, mental, emotional, and physical. And when I returned to Canada, where I lived at the time with my parents from the war, my period had stopped. I had many other physical symptoms as well, gastrointestinal symptoms. Some of you may recognize yourselves in my story. Lots of GI symptoms, lots of orthopedic symptoms. Even though I'd been a dancer, my muscles and tendons became so tight and brittle that I couldn't touch my knees, let alone my toes, or do the splits or anything like that. So I had a lot of symptoms, early stage arthritis at the time, and I was only 19. And I actually was amenorrheic. That's what it means when you lose your period. So essentially, I went through early menopause at 19, and that lasted, I want to say, for almost 6 or 7 years. And so I was at a stage in my life young enough where I didn't have a partner. I wasn't trying to get pregnant, but all of my medical teams knew that wasn't a healthy status. And I was in and out of the hospital and tried acupuncture and Chinese medicine and a lot of different things. Probably a lot of you listening tried as well, or maybe have succeeded with. I became an acupuncturist myself because acupuncture was the one thing that got me out of pain and improved my digestion, but it didn't bring back my menstrual cycle fully. It did come in spurts with a lot of agony and pain, but for the most part, I remained with amenorrhea until while I was in acupuncture school, I went to volunteer at this research institute called HeartMath on my spring break. And being a young med student, I was very interested in the research. And so they gave me a dream volunteer job of transcribing all their research to date on my spring break. And I was gleefully typing away And I actually remember the moments that I listened to their DHEA study and was transcribing that. Now, for those who don't know what DHEA is, dihydroxyepiandrosterone or something like that, is what we sometimes call in stress research and endocrinology, the resilience hormone. It's in the chain of events, a precursor to some of our sex hormones and feel-good neurotransmitters. Its source hormone is pregnenolone, which is probably a familiar word to a lot of you who've been going through fertility treatments. And pregnenolone, you could think of it like it has twins. Cortisol and DHEA are the children of pregnenolone. And cortisol is, you know, in lay terms, called the stress hormone. And forgive me for those for whom this is redundant, but needless to say, returning from the war zone, I had a lot of cortisol in my system. And when I'd been hospitalized, you know, post-traumatic stress in the 80s and 90s was not a vogue diagnosis. So because I'd been in Central America, physicians were all looking for tropical mystery illness, must be a parasite. And as it turned out, I did have parasites and amoebas, but treating that didn't resolve my infertility. And so there I was typing away in this little closet office at the research institute called the Institute of HeartMath at that time. Now they call themselves HeartMath Institute. And out came this whole information about, okay, you've got pregnenolone and it's either going, you know, the pizza, the leftover pizza in the fridge of pregnenolone is either feeding cortisol, which is the stress hormone, or feeding DHEA, which cascades into all this wonderful other resilience for our physiology, including healthy sexual hormonal balance, not to mention shiny hair and skin and all the things that having healthy sex hormones and, you know, an endocrine balance give us, and, you know, muscle strength and proper bone density. And we could go on and on, but we won't, because most of you probably already know that already. So the study that I listened to and was transcribing allowed people, just by practicing this simple stress intervention, which you learned one of these skills right at the beginning of our conversation, the quick coherence technique, for a period of 4 to 6 weeks, the people in the study were practicing these HeartMath interventions to reduce their stress, and their DHEA went up by 100%. And their cortisol dropped by a commensurate level. So you want to imagine DHEA and cortisol are on a seesaw with how much pregnenolone food they eat. When DHEA goes up, cortisol goes down. When cortisol goes up, DHEA goes down. And so the people in the study increased their DHEA by 100% and reduced their cortisol by 23%, except for one person. There's an outlier in every study, but that one person, it turns out, was getting a divorce in the middle of the study. So we don't recommend trying to learn heart math when you're in the middle of a major life stressor. Well, oops, too late. If you're suffering with infertility and going through fertility treatments, you're already in the middle of a major life stressor. But here's the good news. So was I when I learned heart math. I was in the middle of preparing to take my state board exams, and I was already coming into it with undiagnosed PTSD. Here's the magic that happened. When I heard that study, it convinced my mind to try these tools I was learning to go to my heart. And what I did during that week that I was at HeartMath and the subsequent week when I returned back to school is I started transforming all that despair at what I had seen in the war, and especially my sadness for what happened to the children that I was caring for, into my love for them. And I just did the exercise that we did when we started the podcast. Every time I caught myself worrying about them, feeling hopeless, any of those things, I started radiating love to them. Within 2 weeks of transcribing that DHEA study in HeartMath's offices, I got my first period back, my first healthy, normal period. So I would have been 26 at that time, and I lost my period at 19. And many of the other symptoms of PTSD, the physical symptoms that I was having, also went away, including the muscle tension. And so it gave me a tremendous amount of incentive to bring applied HeartMath interventions into my own medical practice. And even at that time as a resident and intern, into my practice in education. And so I started teaching all my patients HeartMath and found that the efficacy of the other treatments that I was doing skyrocketed. And we were just, before starting this conversation, Sarah, you and I reviewing a paper indicating there's a strong potential, still in the might, maybe, could be phase in the paper's abstract, that even practicing these skills can increase the efficacy of allopathic interventions like IVF.
Yeah, thanks for sharing that, Shava. It's just, I know what you've been through and with that, and just finding these tools, which sometimes it's like these synchronicities happen and it's like you found it at the right time. And then, yeah, when you're taking us through that in the beginning, like if someone's listening, they find it like super simple or easier. Like, you're kidding me? Like, I'm going through the struggle and I just need to breathe into my heart. We work with couples that have been told donor eggs are their only option. You know, many of them are taking DHEA because theirs is so low. And like, similar to me, I was diagnosed with premature ovarian insufficiency at 28. I had both my kids with donor eggs. And then years later, discovered all these different health issues. And I actually would have said when I was going through the journey, it's ridiculous now looking back, but I actually thought I wasn't stressed. But of course, being told at 28 that you can't have your own biological children. And, you know, I was like, off I go, I'm going on the list for the donor eggs and here I go. And then, you know, years later, my health began to suffer and then I had to make the changes later. But I think it's really empowering to know that with some of these simple techniques, do not dismiss them because they're simple, because they're powerful and they can have like massive, massive impact on your health.
100% yes. The deceptive simplicity of this is actually what makes it work. And because everyone here wants to be a parent, well, parents don't have a lot of spare time on their hands to go off unless you have a full-time nanny. And I suppose some do, but most of the parents I work with, you know, don't have the luxury to do 8 hours of yoga and meditation a day to manage their stress. And so it's good news that it's simple. And for all of the people we work with, including the allied healthcare practitioners who use HeartMath for their own stress intervention and mitigation. But you brought up a really important point, is that most people don't think they are stressed. I mean, maybe in 2022, we all know it by now. But what we don't realize is that the vast majority of human beings are maladapted to stress. What that means is that we're living in a fight, flight, freeze, appease, survival mode the majority of the time. And it's such a neurological familiar place. We don't feel like we're out of balance because it's all we know. Until we have an intervention like HeartMath that shows us what it's like to feel optimal. So what is familiar and what is optimal are not the same things. And the vast majority of human beings are in a suboptimal baseline neurologically that's familiar and is just the social frequency we swim in. It's the norm, but it doesn't have to be our norm. We can, in a fairly short amount of time, I mean, for me, it took 2 weeks. So obviously the first moment I started breathing through my heart based on what a normal menstrual cycle would be for me must have reactivated my hormones, which I find really interesting looking back on it. And now we're all women here probably. So I can say, you know, I'll be 53 this month and I'm bleeding while we're talking. My menstrual cycle right now is like clockwork. I have no symptoms of menopause orbiting me, but I'm treating most of my peers for it. So who knows? But that capacity to self-regulate can really take us very far. And when you shared about donor eggs, I just want to share a story about a colleague of mine that practices HeartMath. I won't share her name because she didn't give me permission to talk about her on this podcast, but she's a cherished friend and colleague of mine, who was told, like you, Sarah, that basically her eggs were not viable and would never be. And so she got a donor egg. She carried the child to term in her own body through IVF with her husband's sperm. But when she received that news, it slaughtered her She sobbed on her bathroom floor for 24 hours, just slaughtered her. The stress of just that unto itself, I just hope we can all have compassion for that. And here's what I want you all to know. And when I ran my doula registry, I saw this so many times. A few years after she gave birth with the donor egg, her mother came up to her and said, I want you to go see an oncologist because your lower belly doesn't look right. And she said, oh, no, no, I'm sure it's just menopause. My period stopped. So I'm sure it's just, you know, that middle-aged menopausal weight gain. But her belly kept growing. So finally she went to see an OB, and sure enough, she and her husband had conceived naturally, and they have two beautiful children. So the stress we put on ourselves through the process of infertility, I have seen many, many times that when people either adopt or do what you did, Sarah, and the stress burden is off their back, that's when they get pregnant. It just happens that heart mass, I mean, can we guarantee that for everyone? No, because of course everyone is different and there are multi-vectors involved in these things, which, you know, taking my heart math hat off and speaking as a doula and as an acupuncturist and as a human being, I could put a different hat on and speak to that if you'd like. But with my heart math hat on for a moment, I can say that heart math science just explains to us some of the reasons why when we get the stress monkey off our back, we then conceive. I actually had a client and a friend who didn't do IVF, didn't opt to adopt, and didn't opt to use a donor egg. But what they did do was decided they would sponsor a child through my nonprofit, writing letters and doing that kind of thing, just sponsor a child. We have a program like Save the Children. At that time, I was in Nicaragua. Now we work in Zimbabwe, but she sponsored a child in Nicaragua. And after that conceived, because she started taking her focus off of what wasn't here, which was the child she wanted, and putting her focus in the energies of nurturing and loving and mothering and being that frequency. And so HeartMath just gives us some science to explain some of these seemingly miraculous events.
Absolutely. Yeah. We say, you know, it is a miracle, but you meet your miracle, you know, part way or all the way. And so that's why I started this work, to really be like, okay, I didn't know there was anything I could do. And there's powerful things you can do. And starting, yeah, with the stress piece is massive. We also look at, you know, biochemical side of things too, with functional lab testing and more, and blood chemistry. And people get very excited about the biochemical side of things, but the stress piece, the mental, emotional, that's why I've added heart math into our program.
Fantastic.
Is essential.
Well, what do you think drives the biochemicals?
Right.
Our mind and emotions are driving the biochemicals, exactly. Y'all. So if you're excited about biochemicals, I mean, you're talking to a research scientist here, so now you're my tribe. I can get excited with you about biochemicals, but then you got to know what's driving the biochemical cascade is our mental and emotional response to things.
When you're trying to get pregnant, there's already so much to think about. You're trying to eat healthily. You're trying to manage your stress and sleep, all while maintaining your relationships and living through work and life. Knowing if you're on the right track to conceive shouldn't be on that list. That's why today's episode is sponsored by Anito, the most accurate at-home fertility tracker on the market and the one we here at FabFertile recommend and use with all our clients. We had Asa Jane from Anito on the podcast to talk all about it.
We got this comment about 5 days ago, right? It's such a good review, it almost sounds like a fake review. That's how good it is. She says that if you're debating on getting Anito, please stop considering anything else and buy Anito, because this person, they purchased it last year and after 30 days, they got pregnant, and this is a same-sex couple. So for them, it's like they're like, they were trying every single thing and timing is key. And then they recommended it to their neighbor. I mean, I think their neighbor just used their own device, and their neighbor got pregnant in 2 months. And then they recommended it to a friend, and their friend told them that they have conceived just last week. You know, I was like, that is amazing. Something's going on over here.
To try Anito, go to anito.com. That's Anito.com and use the code FABFERTILE15. That's FABFERTILE15 to save 15%. And now back to the show. I like that renewal to depletion chart where you have cortisol and DHEA on the one side, and cortisol with sort of the frustration, the impatience, the anger, sadness, and DHEA with joy and empathy or abundance and acceptance and contentment, all that peace. And so you can sort of see little glimpses of the other side. Did you want to share a little bit about that?
I'm more than happy to share this.
So if you're watching this on our YouTube channel, we're going to share something right now.
Cool. Okay, so this is the grid that you were just talking about, Sarah, the depletion to renewal grid, which shows us this, basically the axis between the autonomic nervous system and our endocrine system, and how our emotions are the primary drivers of those things. So you can see here on the stress side of the map, we have cortisol. And by the way, they think, oh, well, I just need to relax if I'm stressed. But depression is relaxed stress. Or if I'm depressed, I just need to motivate myself. I need to pull myself up by my bootstraps. But then we usually end up in anger or frustration. So motivation and relaxation aren't the antidote to stress, but coherence is. So what is coherence? Because that brings us over to this right side of the grid where we renew mentally, emotionally, physically, endocrinologically. Like literally we renew our hormones in ways that we can measure. So I'm going to just share a different visual, Sarah, that I think will help your audience get the sense of this. If you had to pick which one of these lines would represent the frustration and disappointment of wanting to conceive and not being able to.
Yeah, and then the incoherence side of things. I think when it's going lower, no? Maybe I'm wrong on that.
You know, what's interesting is it's not actually a lower heart rate. If you look at the heart rate here, well, we'll show you that in a second, but it is chaotic, right? It's an unpredictable pattern, which... And now that I'm re-looking at it, you're right, it does go lower. Which of these lines would represent the feeling of fulfillment and contentment and nurturing of being a mom?
Yeah, and to the coherence piece, I'm assuming sort of it's regular and you're feeling calm.
It could be calm, but believe it or not, that pattern and a punchline is, do you know what these lines are picturing?
The HRV.
Yeah, their heart rhythms.
Mm-hmm.
So not EKG, not heartbeats, but the beat-to-beat changes in heart rhythm. And you can see you're not wrong that the word calm is there, but it could also be passion or enthusiasm. So it's not necessarily just a placid or tranquil state. It's a coherent state, which is a repeatable, predictable rhythm that stabilizes all the body systems. That's what coherence is. And it's responsive in the heart rhythm to emotion. And so when we feel feelings like appreciation, care, compassion, confidence is one of the suggested things here, it stabilizes the heart rhythm. So this helps explain why when people adopt and they finally feel at peace or use a donor egg or... You know, I've also worked with clients who finally gave up on it and let it go, and then they get pregnant. But I would like to give a nod to this. And this is something we talk about off the record at HeartMath. Everything so far is, you know, published research and all of that. But in the program that I run called Heart Mastery, we also take sort of a spiritual approach to the heart, not just the scientific one. And if you imagine that the heart is the first organ to form in the fetus, science still doesn't know what initiates the first heartbeat before the brain is formed. The brain actually forms in the heart and grows up and out of the heart in fetal development. So there's always sustained this connection between the heart and the brain and communication that turns out to be very important for neurological biophysical, biochemical. The heart itself has now been reclassified as an endocrine organ along all these pathways of communication, pressure waves. So we have a principle in Heart Mastery we talk about called your heart's blueprint. That if you could imagine that the giant redwood trees here outside my window, you can barely see because it's starting to get dark, begin with an oat flake sized seed. And these massive, the tallest trees in the world start with a tiny oat flake sized seed. And human being starts with this tiny heart cell. So written into that, just like an oat flake sized seed, is the blueprint of the full potential of a human being. Mentally, emotionally, physically, spiritually. And it's not in everybody's blueprint, optimal blueprint to be a parent. It was not in my blueprint to be a parent. And so when I coach clients now, not everybody wants to hear that, especially somebody who really wants to get pregnant. But it's a truth that I got to see play out in my practice over many years. Because I saw when people just drove against all costs, and the costs, many of you know, can be very high, financial and otherwise, to get pregnant. There was a client I had, and I share her with love and respect and care for her and her son, who spent the couple's full savings on IVF, multiple IVF treatments to get pregnant. Spent many years in despair over not getting pregnant. And when she did, was actually miserable through her pregnancy and miserable as a parent raising the child. She didn't enjoy it. It wasn't what she thought it would be. She regretted it. She taught me so much. I speak about her with the deep honoring of her being a teacher to me as a practitioner. And so now when I coach clients to get pregnant, I guide them to listen to their inner compass, their heart intuition, which we do talk about at length at HeartMath. I walk them through the process my husband and I went through, actually, especially if they're having trouble physically conceiving, to really listen. What do you tell yourself being a parent would give you? How would it make you feel? Like anything in the physical world, when we reach for it to get the feeling, it's addictive. Whether I'm reaching for ice cream or heroin or parenting to feel a certain feeling, I'm reliant on the external reality to feel a certain way. And what HeartMath teaches and shows us is that feelings are an inside job. And when I learn to generate those feelings from the inside, now I'm not dependent upon the external thing to achieve it. The reason I walk all of my fertility clients through this is because when you self-source the feelings you want from being a parent, rather than needing your child to feel those feelings, it makes you a better parent when you become them. And so maybe we could just pause for a moment together and ask ourselves, by the way, it also helps you conceive and it helps you make peace if conception isn't in your blueprint. You never know. There are things I have really wanted or thought I wanted in this life. And now I look back and go, thank God I didn't get it. So there's a maturity that comes with lining up with our own heart, where no matter what you win, it optimizes your physiology for conception. There's no question about that. But if it's not in your blueprint to conceive, it also optimizes your fulfillment in life with what is in your blueprint. So if we could all just do a quick coherence and breathe in through the heart and out through the heart. Those feelings we tell ourselves it would give us if only we could conceive. Don't wait for conception to feel them. Conceive those feelings now in your heart as you breathe in through the heart and out through the heart. And know that that is optimizing your best future, whatever it holds.
Yeah, I love that, to being able to, you know, the external validation piece and when I'll be happy, always waiting there, like now. You know, how do we look at joy now? Because a lot of times when we're on this journey, we place everything on hold until we get, you know, and in this case, you know, have our baby. And then like, how do we fuel ourselves now? And the moment you start trying to be a parent, you already are one in your heart. So this whole compassion piece, as I know, when we look at that HRV, for years, I'd be up in the impatience, the frustration, the anger. Like I visualized myself banging my head against the wall going, why is this not working? That didn't serve me. Didn't serve me at all. And with the fertility industry, it perpetuates this panic. This, I hear people telling me they're doing an aggressive IVF. They've got a rush. They're too old. Their eggs are old. Everything's running out of time. And it's this very, it puts you in that incoherence piece and the panic and the frustration, the exact opposite of what you need to really prepare yourself. And so if someone's feeling impatient, is there anything you can kind of suggest for them other than doing heart math?
Well, impatience implies that you can't have what you want until other things happen first. And so it's a way at the end of the day that we lie to ourselves, because the heart initiates feeling. And if you think that you can only feel whatever qualities you think being a parent will give you by having a child, talk to parents and you'll find out that they don't always feel those feelings once they have kids. Right, Sarah? Like when you were told that your eggs weren't viable, at the time, what feelings did you tell yourself that having children would give you? What were you looking to experience?
It's interesting. When I got that diagnosis, different from when your friend, like, because I'm like this very action-oriented person, I just went like, okay, fine. That's what's going to happen for me. I need to go on a list for donor eggs. I need to go do it this way. And I became very logical. I was very sort of guarded and protected, because if I thought if I really let myself feel this, I would be that big piece of emotion on the floor. And so having children, yeah, you, I guess, love that you want to feel.
That's it. Brilliance. And so if you tell yourself, I can't feel love until I have a child, of course you'll be impatient, because love is what we came here to experience, I believe. You don't have to believe what I believe, but that's what I believe. And so, yeah, I would be impatient too if someone said you can't feel love until fill in the blank. But if you start activating love in your heart now, there's no in order to. There's nothing to wait for. We have a motto at my organization, Heart Ambassadors: there is no waiting, only appreciating, which is really to say love right now. Then there's nothing to wait for. I will share with you a story that I think is kind of a fun miracle story. And I really want to acknowledge, I myself experienced what you said of being pressured by a healthcare provider, being told that I was running out of time. I was seeing a primary care physician for another very severe health challenge that I had that required surgery. And my husband was there with me, and she looked at us. At the time, I had just turned 40. I'm not sure. I can't remember. But she said, do you two want to have children? And we said, well, we're still contemplating that. And she said, she closed my file and said, well, then we're stopping all conversation about all your other health concerns, because you're out of time. So that's what you need to make your number one priority. And he and I kind of looked at each other like, I was in excruciating pain. Like, that was not the moment for me to think about parenting someone else. And we did end up going through a process, but I want to acknowledge the process that led us to conclude that we were going to remain dinks, double income, no kids. That was what our hearts guided us to, because we have many children. I sponsor a lot of children through my nonprofit, and we care for a large community of people. So there are many, many ways to mother. In fact, Yahoo published a story about me 25 years ago or something, 15 years ago, called Mother of Many, without having any children of my own. So go figure. But the story that I want to tell you that speaks to how you can't let anyone tell you you can't be a mother. You cannot let anyone tell you you're not a mother, even if it's biologically impossible. When I ran my doula registry in the early 2000s, I had, as I said, it was called the Birthing Vision. And there was a community of women that came together that wanted to conceive. And they were in all different phases of life. Some were working with IVF. Some didn't have a partner yet and were looking for a partner to have their baby with. And there was one woman in the group. There were about 20 of us. And I guided the group, but I was also a member of the group. And I was one of the members of the group that was looking for my partner. And at the time, my current husband, who I knew and we were best friends, but we had had a falling out. So we weren't together in that moment. We got back together. We've been together with that break for 27 years. Thanks to HeartMath, by the way. This works for relationship strife too, just saying for the record. So all of us in that group had the intention to have children. Now, one of the members of the group who had a partner at the time, did not have ovaries or a uterus, but had had some of her eggs frozen. Her ovaries and uterus were removed in a civil action lawsuit against Beverly Hills High School, where she went to school, which was next to some kind of power plant that was later revealed to have exposed the teenagers that went to that school to carcinogens. And so her ovaries and uterus had been removed. I don't remember if it was prophylactically due to the exposure or if there was actual cancer discovered. She was the only person in that group, I tear up just thinking of this, who didn't have a uterus or ovaries. And to this day, she is the only person in that group that had children.
Oh, wow.
Right after that group occurred, she and her husband found a surrogate. And they have twins who now must be in their early teens. So she is my hero because she is my living proof that there is never anything that can get in the way of you mothering if you choose. Anything is possible. Mothering is a frequency of energy from the heart, not a biological event. And all of us, regardless of gender identity, regardless of physical status, are capable of mothering.
Thanks for sharing that. I love that. And so for the listeners, there's a heart mastery consultation that you have. You want to share a little bit about that for us, please?
Absolutely. You know, HeartMath gives us such a vast support system. We have parenting classes. We have all kinds of different things available based on your needs. And so for your listeners, what we decided to offer is a complimentary consultation for anyone who'd like to take us up on it with a certified HeartMath professional on our team to help you with the unique stress that you may be confronting with your fertility journey and to help really just support you unconditionally.
Oh, beautiful. Thank you so much. We're going to have that link in the show notes, and it's at heartmastery.com/free 30-minute heart mastery personal consultation, but we'll have that in the show notes. And any final thoughts today, Sheva, for us?
You know, like you said, Sarah, the desire to be a mother is the desire to love, and love is everyone's birthright. And so I thank you from my heart to everyone listening that you're at least in tune enough with your soul that you have this beautiful heart's desire to love. So please don't wait a minute to start loving. Breathe love through your heart to the checker at the cash register and be their nurturing mother for a moment. When you're driving on the freeway, breathe love to everyone in the cars all around you. And, you know, we can never fathom the stressors people are going through. And as you step into that frequency of mothering from your heart, then there's no stopping you.
Thank you for sharing your words of wisdom. You have such a calming demeanor and very passionate. And I just love what you're sharing. So thank you so much.
Thank you for caring for this audience in their time of need. And a pleasure to get to meet you and be with you.
Great. Thank you. I would like to invite you and your partner to a Supercharge Your Fertility Discovery Call. This call is for you if you meet at least one of the following criteria. You've been trying to get pregnant for at least 2 years. You've been through at least one failed IUI or IVF. This call is for action takers. If you're not ready and you wait, the risk is you'll need to wait 2 to 3 months for a spot to open up. If you're seriously considering work with us, go to fabfertile.com. That's fabfertile.com and click on apply here. That's FabFertile, FABFertile.com, and click on apply here. Then you'll be booked in and ready to spend 30 minutes to give you the action plan to getting pregnant naturally. The Get Pregnant Naturally podcast, including show notes and links, provides information with respect to healthy living, nutrition, lab testing, and is intended for informational purposes only. The information provided is not a substitute for medical advice, diagnosis, or treatment, nor is it to be construed as such. We cannot guarantee that the information provided on the Get Pregnant Naturally podcast reflects the most up-to-date medical research. Information is provided without representation or warranties of any kind. Please consult a qualified physician for medical advice and always seek the advice of a qualified healthcare provider with any questions you may have regarding your health and nutrition program.